All right, Patrick, it is holiday time.
Yeah.
Here in the suburbs and other locales around the world. You're listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And special guest time we have with us for the second year in a row here on our podcast, Mr. Mitchell Kezin. And
yes.
Mitchell is the director and, I guess, star of one of my favorite documentaries, Jingle Bell Rocks.
Yes.
It is such a fantastic documentary about Christmas music. And what I love about it is just his passion as a music nerd like us. It comes through.
Yep.
And so welcome, Mitchell.
Season's greetings, guys. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for being here. I'll tell you, Mitchell, I watched this documentary last year when we had you on around the same time of the season, and I'm saving it again to watch again with my middle offspring, who I think's really going to like it.
Yes.
MJ is going to come up for the holidays. When she gets here a little later in the month, we're going to watch that together. So I think that's going to be really fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Wonderful. How old is she?
Oh, God. Let's see. What year is this? She's 30 years old.
Oh, okay.
So
I kind of say it's so, man, to hear from folks like you, and I've heard from a lot of more people this year for some reason, but the fact that this movie has become a part of others' Christmas rituals is just the coolest thing I could ever hear. And a kind of a dream for a filmmaker to have that sort of legacy and lasting impact. I mean, here we are. The film was released in 2013 in Canada and released the next year, 2014, in America. So that's 8 years, man. That's
awesome.
It's so it's so gratifying. So thank you so much, both of you, for your support.
And, of course.
I love it. And, you know, last year I think I was really promoting that people could find it on the streamings, But this year, I have a DVD. I actually purchased the DVD because I love it that much, and I'm afraid it may go away on the streaming. You never know.
Gone for
streaming, and so now I have a physical copy.
Yeah, it was on Amazon Prime on the actual streaming network, I guess you could call it, up until last year, but they've dropped it now. So it's available to rent or buy on the Amazon site. But folks should know the best way to get it is to come to me directly. Because then I'll actually get a little bit of money. I don't see a dime from any of those other sales. And my distributor would kill me if they heard this, but they're not listening. So
so where can people buy the DVD?
So if they just contact me at jinglebellrocks.com. So that's jinglebellrocks.com. I'll hook them up.
All right. So do that, peoples. It's really, really good. I think for our audience in particular, it speaks to record collectors, you know, music nerds who are into obscure things, you know, and then on top of all that, I think there's just such joy in it, especially when you work with the Calypso band and have them record you know, your favorite Christmas song. I mean, it's just, you could just tell how happy you are.
Yes.
It just comes right through the camera, you know.
You got John Waters and Clarence Carter in the same movie, so that's pretty damn good, too.
Pretty amazing. what was I going to say? Oh, yes. And if here's what that'll do. So for your listeners, if they contact me about buying a DVD or a stream, I can furnish them with either of those two things. I'll throw in a free soundtrack.
Wow. That's a deal.
Yeah.
Such a deal.
Do it, people.
21 tracks of mostly unknown Christmas songs to most folks.
Great.
That's great. So what we're going to talk with Mitchell about this week, over the course of the next 4 days, is some obscure Christmas songs that he wants to share with people.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give a little bit of background here, Mitchell. How did this interest develop in the first place, and then how do you go about finding this stuff and then sharing it to others?
Sure. I call my annual Christmas audio card Mitchell's Merry Mix, and the very first one was created with not the intention of it continuing for 30 plus years. It was 1990. I was a really broke art school student, and I was also a really good student, so I'd finished all my assignments a week early, and I had not very much to do. So I was just hanging out in the music studio, which I loved because they had all kinds of crazy weird albums and sound effects LPs and things like that. And so I had, prior to then, just came across some Hawaiian Christmas records, which was really surprising to me, at a thrift shop. And I had a handful of others, some from home and a few that I'd bought along the way, but nothing nearly close to what comprises my collection now. So I thought, God, what can I give for presents this year? I know, I'll make a mixtape. So in the studio, we had a four-track mixer and all kinds of equipment, so I could do a really nice job, you know, creating a nice flow and having everything transition properly. And, you know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist, so the quality of the mix itself was really important. And then, of course, trying to find the coolest, oddest songs from my meager collection at the time. So I put that together. It was a 60-minute long tape, and created a crude cover for it. I think it was Liberace on the front, with Santa Claus. And here's the funny part, though. So I did all this, mastered it, and then I had to record 50 tapes in real time for all my family and friends. So I stocked up, grabbed a few cases of beer, and holed up in that studio, taping, you know, copying one at a time every hour for 50 hours. And
wow.
I think I stayed up pretty much the whole time. Wow. I used to do that back then. I'm much too old for it now. But so when all was said and done, I handed them out to everybody, and I thought that would be it, you know. Holidays came and went. I came back to school, and the first thing out of people's mouths was, "Mitchell, thank you so much. Yeah. Man, we loved your tape. I took it around to all the Christmas parties I went to, and people were flipping out over some of the songs, and other people were like, it got me through the holiday." And the response was just incredible and kind of overwhelming. And I was like, holy smokes. Even my family loved it. And so, of course, you know what that meant. I had to make another one the next year.
Yep.
And outdo myself. And then the year after that, the year after that, and the year after that, every single year, trying to find even stranger, odder, more wonderful, original Christmas songs, most with an independent or alternative bent. And then finding little things like PSAs and the United States Postal Office mail early campaign, so I could use those to transition between each song, and just started to become, by year 10, pretty elaborate. And then the covers started getting better. And then when I met my wife 20 years ago, she upped the game visually for me. And in 1998, I transitioned from cassette tapes to CDRs. And I'm sticking with CDs. I do a digital version for people who request it, but I love the idea of this little Christmas package arriving in the mail, you know. And you can include liner notes. I include sometimes little stories or, you know, sort of some information behind an album or two that was particularly interesting, how I came across it, etc. So for me, it's just a really fun project, and it takes a long bit of work through the whole fall. And I'm actually right now in the process of finalizing it. I'm a bit late this year. Just do some health things, but it'll get out, and it's a really exciting one. I know I say this every year, it's a doozy, but this year I really mean it. It's a doozy, as you'll be hearing soon in our talk.
Great,
that's wonderful. Yep. Okay, so as I mentioned, Mitchell's going to spend some time with us this week, sharing some Christmas songs he thinks you all should hear. So, which song would you like to start with today?
Well, I don't want to get too melancholy or down right off the get-go. So let's go with Mickey Rooney.
Let's do it. Mickey Rooney.
Now, everyone, well, not everyone, most folks of a certain age remember who Mickey Rooney was. He was a vaudeville star as a young lad and graduated to movies and worked a lot with Judy Garland and became a legendary actor in Hollywood. You know, he was a legendary actor in Hollywood. In the latter years, starred in a bunch of Christmas movies, some of whom still get played every year. And in 1979, he recorded a Christmas album, which I did not know about until earlier this year when I came across it at a thrift shop. It wasn't on my radar. It wasn't a record that the community of like-minded Merry Misfits that I belong to, none of them had talked about it or shared anything from it on their mixes. Just a tiny aside, there is this underground, as people who watch the movie will find out, there's this cabal of like-minded Christmas collectors, and we all are in touch with each other and all trying to outdo each other with our mixes, and we trade CDs and we trade digital versions or whatever. And it's a lot of fun to hear what other folks have dug up or unearthed in addition to the stuff that I've found. So this Mickey Rooney album is called Merry Michaelmas. And it's got several originals that are really fabulous. This track we're going to hear is called Mr. What Do You Want? And it's the lead track on side one of the album. And so perhaps we should just listen to that now and we can talk a little bit more about it on the, on the tail end.
Whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want? And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. Whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want? And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. I'm one of Santa's helpers. I've been with him quite a while. When Christmas rush starts rushing, then I rush in with a smile. So whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want? And whatever you want, Mr. What Do You Want will make. So whatever you want, ask Mr. What Do You Want? And Mr. What Do You Want will make whatever you want. You know, we What Do You Want have been What Do You Want for a long, long time. You see, my father before me was What Do You Want.
Wow. So you said that was 1979?
Yes.
Marijuana wasn't even legal in the U.S. then, so.
No, exactly. Yeah. Sounds like he certainly indulged. yeah. I mean, it's just so kooky, and it's just infectious, I thought. I mean, it just made me chuckle, and it still does every single time I hear it. It's, you know, it's a borderline novelty tune, but pretty, certainly original, right?
And yes, absolutely.
There's a couple of others on the album that are really beautiful songs. One in particular called These Things Mean Christmas to Me, a more serious take on the ways that the holiday matters to him. So he produced this himself, financed the whole thing himself, and if you are lucky enough to find the copy, there are signed letters inside the albums. Most of them are photocopied, but there are some that are original, and you'll see them on eBay and other places where you can buy used records, and they, you know, selling for hundreds of dollars. It doesn't matter to me to not have his autograph, but if I see this album, I'll buy it again. I'll buy every copy I come across because it's just something I want to share with folks and gift to people. It's just it's now I'm saying a must have for any serious collector.
That's great. Any thoughts, Patrick?
Well, I remember Mickey Rooney from a different era than I was from. Movie star, certainly, right?
That's right.
Was always a very entertaining, kind of gregarious person. But I also remember that he did the voiceovers in a couple of Christmas specials that I used to watch. And so I had no idea until today that he ever made a Christmas album. But it kind of in a weird way connects that part of it, like, because I think he was, they're mostly, they were, I don't know if they were those stop motion animations or
the Rankin Bass stuff. At least, right, and at least one of them, he was the voice of Santa Claus,
yes,
I think.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So that's a good point. That's a good connection. I forgot about that.
And it was the early, it was through the 80s he made a lot of these Christmas movies too. Mm. So, he covered all the bases in terms of holiday creativity, you could say.
That's great. All right. So, way to kick this off.
Yep.
Mitchell. All right. So, Mitchell's going to be with us, as I mentioned, the next 3 days.
Yeah.
And we're going to hear more.
Wow.
Interesting.
I feel very special.
Christmas songs. All right. So, with that, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
With us has been Mitchell Kezin, and we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
How goes it, Mr. Warlock?
Winter, please. I've got my magic power working just fine. I can cast up a big freeze, yes, sir. I think I can guarantee a white Christmas.
Wonderful. Then let's be off. Away!
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I knew that was going to happen.